Good morning. We are so glad you're here. I'm going to echo what was said during the welcome. If you're a guest with us, thrilled that you've joined us this morning. My name is Stuart Cash, and I'm one of the ministers on staff here at the church. Jonathan Stormont is our full-time preaching minister, but he's off preaching somewhere else, and so have the great opportunity of filling in for him this morning. And if you are a guest with us, or maybe you're a member that's been traveling, been on vacation, or maybe you're just joining us online this morning, we're in the middle of a series called Follow, because as Mr. Stan just said, our mission statement that was rolled out a few months ago is follow Jesus, build bridges, and make disciples. But how are we going to follow Jesus if we don't even know what that means? How are we going to build bridges and make disciples if we're not letting God transform us into what He needs us to be? And so we can't build bridges and make disciples if it's about me. It's got to be about God and His plan and His word. And this life is all for Him. And so we're going to continue that challenge this morning of follow. So once again, thank you for joining us. And before I say anything else from this platform, would you please bow with me in prayer? Let's give it all to Him. God, once again, we thank You for our guests. Thank You, God, whether they're just traveling through this morning, whether they've been here multiple times or this is their first time, or those watching online, God, we thank You for them and we ask that You will watch over them and bless them. God, thank You for a place like Pleasant Valley where we know we're not perfect. God, we all have struggles and temptations. We're all sinners in this world today, but thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. God, we thank You for our eldership. Thank You for the way that they surrender to Your word and the way that they lead in boldness. God, continue to watch over Stan Chapman, Andy Rowan, Bob Walters, David Beggs, Steve Burton, Jimmy Cohn, Wesley Walls, David Tipton, Mark Hodges, Michael Keck, Terry Cruz, David Tamas, and Mark Rickett. God, continue to watch over these great men. Continue to watch over their families. God, this morning, may my words from this platform be Your words. May You speak through me. May I be invisible. And God, may the scriptures and stories that we talk about this morning not just land on our ears, but they land on our hearts, God, so much so that we are transformed into what You need us to be in this world today. May it be about You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if I were to ask you the question to answer this right here, what is love? How would you answer that? So if we were to go around the room and I'd say, all right, give me a description, whatever it is, tell me what love is. Because a few years ago, some kids were asked the very same question, what is love? And we all know how kids are. I mean, their answers can be all across the board. Some of their answers were real deep, like, whoa, man, that's good. And some of their answers were like, okay, that's good. And I want to share three of those answers with you this morning, the ones that I enjoyed the most. So when kids were posed the question, what is love? One kid said this right here. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Can I get an amen on that? Especially if it's McDonald's French fries, right? Right out, I mean, right through the drive-thru. I mean, yeah, okay, anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. What about this one right here? Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Yes, my wife, take notes. Probably my favorite one is this one right here. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. You know what I'm saying? And some of us are more guilty than others, but it's funny to me how kids, when they were posed the question, what is love, they didn't want to give you like the Webster's Dictionary version or anything. It was something that they had seen. It was an action. It was a verb like, oh, what is love to me? It's something that looks like this or something deeper than that. And I'd be willing to say when I posed the question to you, what is love? A lot of you probably weren't thinking of a definition either. You're thinking of, oh, that action or something that you've witnessed in the past or something that's going on in your life right now. Okay, so let me put a little twist in it. If I were to ask you this morning to answer that same question, what is love, but you have to pick a story out of this, what story would you pick? Now listen, I know what you're thinking. Take the crucifixion off the table. You can't say Jesus died on the cross other than the gift that Jesus gave to us on the cross. What story would you pick from the Old or New Testament to answer the question, what is love? Okay, and some of you right now are thinking, oh, I've got mine. Oh, I've got it. I nailed it. And some of you are thinking, man, there's so many. How do I go through all of these? Okay, there's going to be some that pop on the screen. Here's what I want you to do. It's participation. If yours pops on the screen, just raise your hand and go, yep, that was mine. Okay, you got me. Or if you're not one to raise your hand, you're like, I don't want to raise my hand. Just give me one of these, like, you know, the big eyes, like, right here, Cash, I got you, okay? All right, so when I pose the question, what is love, but you have to pick a story out of here, how many of you thought of this one right here? Parable of the lost son. Raise your hand. Okay, very good. Beautiful story of love where, you know, the son goes away and he wants to go out and venture into the world and do everything the world says is peace and joy and happiness. And then he gets out there and realizes, oh man, this isn't everything it's cracked up to be. And he's nervous about coming home, but when he comes home, to his surprise, the father is standing there with open arms saying, welcome home. And that father represents our Father in heaven. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're struggling with, what you're going through, God is always there ready to welcome you home. Beautiful story of love. How many of you thought of this one right here? The story of the Good Samaritan. Yeah, good. Okay, so here you go. You've got somebody in need, and the priest and Levite, they just walk on by, but the Good Samaritan, he doesn't know him, but he stops and helps him out, does whatever needs to be done, takes him to the inn, takes care of him. How many of you thought of this one? Abraham taking Isaac? Okay, good, good. So here Abraham's taking his son Isaac to the mountaintop and doing what God told him to do. Even though he didn't know why he was doing it, he was going up there to do it. And of course God said, whoa, 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 stop. Now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you love me. What a beautiful story of love. Even though Abraham didn't understand, he had enough faith and trust in God to do it anyway. Okay, how about this one? This one, are Jesus' miracles or healings? Anybody have like feeding the 5,000 or, you know, healing someone with leprosy or anything like that? Okay, this one may be a little stretch, all right? Did anybody think of baby Moses? No? Me either. Okay, but I was just, oh, no, okay, we did have some. Very good. I'm sorry I made you feel bad. Okay, but, you know, baby Moses on the Nile River and his mom just watching him. And then her whole life, you know, we forget about this part of the story. Her whole life, she just sat back and watched him. Like, how hard would that have been as a parent not to step in and go, whoa, whoa. But she did it because that's what was best for him, a parent's love for their kids. That's beautiful. How many of you thought of maybe a relationship? Maybe Ruth and Boaz or Ruth and Naomi or Abraham and Sarah, maybe Mary and Joseph, any of those? Okay, there's one story that pops into my head, okay, when I think of what is love and I have to pick a story out of the Bible. I do think of a lot of these right here. A lot of these come to mind. But one story that always pops into my head. Does anybody still have your story in your head right now that I haven't named, just by show of hands? Okay, good. I'm curious. Okay, get with me, people. Get with me. Look, read what I'm saying. Okay, here we go. First service, nobody thought of this story. You know why? Well, I can't tell you why. But anyway, somebody in here is going to think of it. You ready? What is love? Jacob loving Rachel. Anybody? Yes, thank you. I have friends in second service. First service people, I have friends here. Thank you very much. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 29, open your Bible. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest love stories, to me at least, in the Bible, how much Jacob loved Rachel. Okay, and I was able to share a sermon with you online a few months ago, and we looked at Genesis 29, but we looked at the relationship between Rachel and Leah, and how they were constantly, they're just jealous of each other all the time. How Rachel was jealous of Leah because she could have children, but Leah was jealous of Rachel. Why? Does anybody know why she was so jealous of her? Because she was attractive, okay? And so their whole life, they're just constantly jealous. They're constantly comparing themselves with each other to the point where they missed the gifts that God had given them and what God was doing in their life. Glad that none of us have comparison problems in here. And we know we do. We got to stop comparing ourselves with each other. But today I want to look at this same story because there's something else in here. There's something else that we all struggle with. A story in here that we often miss. So much so that some of us in here don't even think about it anymore. We've just gotten so used to not challenging ourselves with it that it's just become non-existent. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 29, kind of leading us up to this story, we see where Jacob's parents, Isaac and Rebekah, don't want Jacob to marry a Canaanite woman. Like, all right, don't marry a Canaanite woman. Matter of fact, you go on this journey, you go off to Haran, to the land of Laban, and you find a wife there. And so Jacob takes off on this journey, and he comes to the well on this journey. And I'm sure he's hot, he's tired, he's thirsty, and he comes to this well, and he sees a bunch of sheep, and he sees some shepherd. And just sparking up conversation, he says, hey, where are you guys from? And they're like, we're from Haran. And he's like, oh, good, do you know Laban? And they're like, yeah, we know him. He's like, well, is he well? And they're like, yes. Matter of fact, here comes his daughter Rachel now. And this is the first encounter of this beautiful love story that all of you should have raised your hand on just a minute ago, but you didn't. But anyway, here's what it says. Okay, and while we're reading this, I want you to put yourself in this story. Don't just hear it. Place yourself in the story and think, who do I identify with in this story? Do I feel like Rachel? Do I feel like Leah? Do I feel like Laban? Do I feel like Jacob? Okay, so here's what it says, starting with verse 9. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah, so she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." And Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Oh, come on. Now listen, how romantic is that? Is that not love to you? It's a beautiful story, okay? And so here we've got, you know, Jacob working for Laban, and he said, "Look, man, you can't just work for free." And he said, "I tell you what, give me your daughter Rachel in marriage." And he says, "Deal, for 7 years, give me 7 years." He's like, "We'll do it." So they shake hands, fist bump, chest bump, whatever it is that they did. And so every day for 7 years, Jacob got up. I'm sure he got up when the sun went up, just coming up to the sundown, just working hard labor. But every day he got up working, he thought, "But I get to marry Rachel. How fantastic is this going to be?" And so he did it for 7 years. And then when 7 years were up, he went to Laban and said, "All right, man, I held up my end of the deal. Where are you at?" And Laban's like, "Okay." So they get this, all the wedding preparations in order, and they throw this big wedding, and everything goes according to plan. Or does it? Because if we continue reading in verse 23, it says this, "But when evening came, he," talking about Laban, "took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob," not Rachel. Talk about a soap opera. Here we go. Okay, verse 25. "When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel. I didn't serve you for Leah. Why did you do that? And you can just imagine Laban here going, "Oh, I didn't tell you? Oh, it must have slipped my mind. I'm sorry. But listen, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one." And Jacob was probably thinking, "Well, that's good news. You should have told me that yesterday or 7 years ago, but instead you didn't." But still, they made another deal. "Finish this daughter's bridal week. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He agreed because he was so in love. Once again, this love story. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. His love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. Okay, there's going to be something on the screen right here in the middle, and everybody clear your throat. I want us to read this together because this is the key this morning. Everybody ready? Here we go. His love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. Remember that. Okay, so here we've got this beautiful story, Jacob and Rachel and Jacob and Leah. So who are you in this story? If you placed yourself in this story, who do you identify with the most? Some of you are like, "I can see that I'm Rachel because I'm beautiful." I mean, I don't know. Or maybe some of you are thinking, "You know, I feel a lot like Leah. I feel like sometimes that I just kind of get overlooked. You know, I'm maybe the outcast." Or maybe you feel like Jacob. "I feel like I'm an honest person. I work hard, but people go behind my back. They kind of deceive me." Maybe some of you feel like Laban. You're like, "I mean, that was kind of sketchy what he did, but he's taking care of his kids." Or maybe you're like, "I'm Laban. He's a businessman. He knows what's up." Okay, I don't know who you are in this story this morning. But whoever you are this morning, let's say that you identify with Rachel. If you read this story 6 months, a year from now, that may change and you may now identify with Leah. If some of you feel like Leah this morning, read it a year from now, you may feel like Jacob. Because Scripture is living. It talks to us where we are in that moment with what we're facing in life right now. But no matter how many times we read this story, no matter if it's today, tomorrow, next week, next month, years to come, no matter where you are in your journey of following Jesus, whether you're at the peak or the valley, I don't care where you are, All of us are Jacob in this story. Now, I'm not saying you don't identify with the other ones. You probably do. But we're all Jacob in this story because Jacob is facing something every day that all of us face as followers of Christ. Some of us do good at it. Some of us don't. And I'll get to that in just a second. This is a picture of me when I was a little kid. Okay, before you say it, I know what you're going to say. Oh, you had hair. Look at there. You're not bald. Or you look at those clothes and go, man, seriously though, what was up with your clothes? Like, hey, that's the way we dressed in the 80s. It was cool. Can all my 80s people like give a fist pump or something? Yes, be proud of it. Yes, be real proud. Now, if you really want to look at that picture and go, seriously though, what's up with your jacket? Like, why is it buttoned up like that? It's all crooked and stuff. That's actually a legit question. I have no idea. Okay, but what I don't want you to see, yeah, some of you just saw it. You're like, oh, it is buttoned up wrong. What I don't want you to see is me in the picture, but the full picture right here that they're going to show. I want you to see the guy at the top right of the picture, the guy in the yellow shirt. That's Nolan Cash. That's my granddad. I was named after this man. And I had the privilege of working with this man all throughout junior high, high school, and part of my college years, every summer in construction. And I say it's a privilege now because when I was a kid, I hated it. I can still remember laying in bed in the morning and my alarm's going off. The sun's not even up yet. My alarm's going off and my first thought was this: dear Lord, please let it be raining outside. And I'd get up and it wouldn't be raining. I'd hear his truck coming around the corner, wow, to come pick me up to go to work. But man, this man taught me. You know, I'd work 45 plus hours a week and every Friday I'd get paid $175. And I thought, man, I'm so rich. And now I look back and think, no, I was getting ripped off. I was getting ripped off. So what was happening? But I say it's a privilege because it was, not just because of the money, but this man was set an example in my life of what hard work looks like. Like, he would just go to work. That's all he knew. Like, you got to get your hands dirty, you got to get in there, and you got to get busy. And he didn't talk a lot about hard work. He just showed me what it looked like. Now, every now and then, he would say things like this: hey, one day you're going to have a wife and kids. You're going to have to go to work. You got to put food on the table. You got to provide for your kids. Whatever your kids need, you got to do it. Like, yes, sir. Okay, you know, my uncle would work with us, and he'd have this fancy little nail gun that he would pull out and hook up to this compressor, and they'd put a piece of, you know, wood up, and it was just real quick. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It'd go boop, 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 just nails just popping in. Papa, he was old school. He was like, weak kids. Look at him over there using that. So he'd have his, you know, his satchel, and he'd pull out his nail, and he'd tap it in a couple times, and just two or three swings, bam, 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 and that nail was in. He thought he was as fast as the nail gun, but we'd never told him he wasn't because you just know you don't tell people that are old school, just like, okay. And so, but every now and then he would do this. He would tap it in a couple times, and he'd say, Stuart, watch this. And just one swing of the hammer, bam, and that nail would go in one time. And then he'd always give me that look, too. He'd always give me that look. He'd tap it in, he'd go, Stuart, watch this. And one swing, bam, and then he'd give me this look. Like, who's the man? Like that. And they'd say, go get that piece of plywood. And I'd be like, yes, sir. You know, and so I go get that piece of plywood. Man, I loved working with him. If I had one more day just to work with him, I'd love it. And so when I read stories about Jacob, I see people like my papa. I see people like him. And not just because of his work ethic. I see when Jacob, probably getting up when the sun's coming up and the sun's going down, I saw that in my papa growing up. But that's not the only reason I think of him. I read stories about Jacob. I also see my papa because of the way that he loved that woman in the middle in the glasses. Man, he loved my Mimi. They were married in 1943, and they were married for 57 years before he passed away in 2000. And there's nothing on this earth that he wouldn't do for her. He loved her so much. He'd tell stories about her at the work site. But one thing he always said, when the good Lord comes, I hope he takes me before he takes her. And I never questioned it, because once again, you don't question people who are old school. You just say, yes, sir. But when I got in college, he said it again. And I said, Papa, why would you say that? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to leave her here by herself? And he said, when the good Lord comes, I hope he takes me before he takes her, because I can't live without her. And you're like, oh, it just melts your heart. You see that type of love that's in Genesis chapter 29 of Jacob loving Rachel. I saw that in how Papa loved my Mimi. And we all have a Rachel in our life, don't we? Or Rachels in our life. People who are just easy to love. It just comes natural. We can't explain it. It's just, I'll do anything for them. I'll take care of them. No questions asked. Whether it be a spouse, whether it be kids, whether it be grandkids, grandparents, best friends. I mean, it's just easy for us to do. But just as Genesis 29 isn't just about Jacob's love for Rachel, there's also somebody else in this story, too, that's very important. Somebody that's in this story not by accident. Somebody that makes a huge difference in history. And they go by the name of what? Say it out loud. Come on, say it to me. Leah. So Genesis 29 isn't just about Rachel. It's about Leah, too. And so in Genesis, we see this. Jacob was not happy. Matter of fact, he was mad. He was upset. He didn't work 7 years and eventually 14 years for Leah. He worked that for Rachel. Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, but he got stuck with Leah. He loved Rachel. He endured Leah. With Rachel, it was love at first sight. With Leah, he had to learn to love her. And just as we all have our Rachels in life, those people that are just easy to love, it just comes natural. We also all have our Leahs too, don't we? It's those people that annoy us. They get under our skin. You know, we see them coming and we're like, oh, is that so-and-so? Hide. Or we see them coming or somebody mentions their name and you grit your teeth. You're like, ooh. Or let's be honest, we're in church. Somebody mentions their name and you give them this, that eye roll that we all do. We all have those Rachels and we all have those Leahs. But right now we're looking at Rachels and Leahs through the lens of people. What if we were to look at Rachels and Leahs through the lens of following Jesus? In other words, if I were to ask you this morning, in being a follower of Jesus, what are your Rachels? In other words, what are those things in life that come easy to you? What are those things that Jesus says in Scripture? Hey, I need you to do this. I need you to be like this. I need you to act like this. Carry yourself like this. This is what I need you to be in following me. And you're like, oh, that's easy. I can do that. Woo-hoo, those are Rachels. Those are natural for me. But once again, just as Genesis 29 isn't just about Rachel and Jacob, it's also about Leah. So in following Jesus, what are those things that Jesus says, hey, I need you to do this and be this. I need you to act like this and carry yourself like this as a follower of me. And you're like, oh, but those are tough. Are you sure? Like, sure. Come on, Jesus, just let me celebrate my Rachels over here. And he's like, no, but what about these over here? What about these things too? Okay, so as a follower of Jesus, what are your Rachels? What comes easy to you? What are those things that come difficult to you? And I'm going to list some things in the middle, one at a time. And listen, this is not for you to raise your hand on. I don't want you to raise your hand on these, but I want you to be honest with yourself. And in your mind, I want you to put it on the Rachel side or the Leah side. And spouses, this is not a time when I put something up on the middle of the screen, you hit your husband or wife and go, mm-hmm, you struggle with that. That's a Leah for you. Okay, none of that. Okay, be honest with yourself. What if I were to ask you this morning, Rachel or Leah, praying? And I don't mean driving in the Kroger parking lot going, please, Lord, let me find a good parking spot. That's not the praying I'm talking about. I'm talking about we're all so busy. We have schedules to keep. We're go, 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 deadlines to meet. When's the last time you went into a room and just closed the door in silence and solitude with God? Let God speak to you. Some of you right now are thinking, man, I do that all the time. That's a Rachel for me. It's easy for me. Did it this morning. Some of you are thinking right now, whew, that's a Leah for me. I struggle with that. What about fasting? Some of us are over here going, oh, do we really have to do that? Really? I thought Jesus was just joking. Like, I thought he was kidding. And some of us are like, no, I do that on a regular basis. Matter of fact, if you could speed this sermon up so I could get to lunch, I'd really appreciate it. What about this? What about forgiveness? Boy, we love forgiveness, don't we? When it's coming at us, God, pour your grace and mercy on me. Yes, give it to me. But what about that person that's wronged you or done you wrong or backstabbed you? How are you treating them? This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Like, God, thank you. Thank you for all your grace and mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. But them, like, we've got to act the same way, right? Is that a Rachel or a Leah? What about loving our enemies? What about turning the other cheek? What about gossiping? Boy, gossip is easy to get into, isn't it? Isn't it easy? You know why we love gossiping? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It's another form of comparison. It's like, oh, can you believe they did that? Can you believe she did that? Look at him. What does he think he is? I mean, we all do it because it puts us up on a pedestal and it puts them down here. And as long as they're down here, then I'm fine. I don't have to worry about my Leahs. I'm fine. Look at them. I may have some, you know, some things I'm not putting into practice or trying to put into practice, but at least I'm not him. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop doing that. Okay, what about this? What about taming the tongue? Some of us need a filter. Let's just be honest. Some of us need to know when to bite our tongue. I don't care if blood starts squirting out of our tongue. We got to learn to bite our tongue. Okay, we can't just say what's on our minds all the time, all right? What about giving to the needy? And I don't mean just giving out of our wealth. What about giving when it hurts? And we're not just talking about money. We're talking about our time. We're talking about the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, probably while the priest and Levite just walked by, they didn't have time for that. But the Good Samaritan did. Jesus says, you go and do likewise. Serving the needy doesn't mean when it fits into your schedule or my schedule. It means that's what we're supposed to do, give to the needy. What about lusting? Those who look at a woman or a man lustfully in their, with their eyes has already committed adultery with them in their hearts. What about judging? What about worry? What about denying yourself? I mean, we could go on and on. I could list a lot more, and so could you. Majority of these things on the screen right now behind me, as well as others, Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, or in different parables. And if we claim to, quote, follow Jesus in our mission statement, follow Jesus, build bridges, make disciples, if we claim to follow Jesus, if we truly want to look like him, he's told us the blueprint. This is what it's got to look like. It doesn't mean just flourishing in your Rachels. It means you've at least got to try to learn to love your Leahs and endure them too. You can't just pick and choose what you want to do. In other words, I don't get to open the Bible and go, ooh, I'll do that, yeah, but I ain't doing that. And some of us are Jacob in this story of Genesis chapter 29 because we have ignored our Leahs over the years, so much so that we forget they're even in there. We'll just flourish in these. We forget that Jesus even said, but you got to do these too. And I'm guilty of that. If I'm being 100% honest with you this morning, that's what my life looks like. I can't read scripture and pick and choose what I want if I truly want to follow Jesus. Because when I do that, then following Jesus becomes what I want it to be instead of what he needs it to be. When I only do the Rachels in following Jesus and don't learn to brave the Leahs, then I've created my own gospel. I've created the Stuart Cash gospel. And let me tell you, people, the last thing this world needs and the last thing this community needs is the Stuart Cash gospel. They need Jesus. They don't need me. When we only focus on the Rachels and don't look to improve the Leahs, then we're only looking to what serves us. And what serves us is not serving his kingdom. Point blank. Now listen, hear me correctly. I'm not standing up here on this platform this morning saying, you got to be perfect. You got to do everything right. You can't have any sin in your life. That's not what I'm saying. If that's the message you're hearing the wrong message. We're all sinners. We've all failed today. We'll continue to fail today. We'll fail every day. The question this morning is, are we even trying? Or we've justified it so much that we're like, do I even have to do that? Have we turned following Jesus into, I'll do what Jesus wants me to do when it fits into my schedule or what I want, but otherwise I'll just be me. Because following Jesus is going to hurt. It's going to bring us some pain at times. But that's what we got to do if we're truly followers of him. I told you a minute ago how much my papa loved my Mimi. Now I want to tell you how much my Mimi loved my papa. I didn't know until his funeral that Nolan Cash couldn't read. Never knew that. His whole life. I worked with him junior high, high school, into my college years. I never knew that that man couldn't read. Because when he was 8, he had to drop out of school because they lived during the Depression. And he had to go work with his mom and dad to help put food on the table for his siblings. And so because of that, he never learned how to read. And so we were at Mimi's house a couple months after the funeral, and we're in there telling stories and laughing and talking about construction days and some tears and things like that. And Mimi was saying, I miss this, I miss that, I miss looking over and seeing him in the chair smiling at me. I miss those three words, I love you. And then she said this, I miss reading the Bible to him. And it got silent. We said, tell us about that. She said, boy, I'd plop open that King James Version, and we'd just get to reading. And she said, but it wasn't always easy. It was tough at times because I had kids running around. You know, I had things to do. I had chores. I had dishes in the sink. I had laundry to fold. I had all these things I had to take care of. And it wasn't easy for him either. At times, it was embarrassing for him. It was humiliating that he couldn't read, that somebody had to read to him. But as hard as those moments were, we always found time to do it. She always found time to read the Bible to him. Why? Because as hard as those were Leahs in her life, she did it anyway because those moments weren't about her.
They were about him. They were about his relationship with Jesus. She had to remove herself from that situation and know that if that's what he needs, that's what I'm going to do. That's how I want my relationship with Jesus to be. Because truth be told this morning, I don't like turning the other cheek. I got things I want to say, and I got good comebacks to people. Like, you think, okay, you want to one-up me? Watch this. I've got good things I want to say. I don't want to turn the other cheek. But if I'm truly going to follow Jesus, it's not about me. I got to learn to tame my tongue. I don't like sitting still in solitude. I'm a high-wired person. If you know me, I just want to go. Let's go to work. I want to get my hands dirty. Let's stop talking about it and sitting here quiet. But if I really want to do what God wants me to do, as Stan was talking about earlier, I've got to sit in quiet and solitude and be still for a while and let God speak to me. I don't like loving my enemies or forgiving those who have wronged me. But once again, this journey's not about me. And following Jesus, it's got to be about him. If I truly want to be transformed, if I really want to look like Jesus, if I really want to live out the follow in our mission statement, if we really want to live out the follow in our mission statement, then we've got to learn to endure our Leahs just as much as we love our Rachels. And aren't we glad that Jacob learned to endure Leah in Genesis 29? Aren't we glad that he did that? Because it was Leah that was fertile and produced many children, including Judah, the tribe that led to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let that sink in just for a second. In other words, let me put it this way. It wasn't through Rachel that God saved the world. It was through Leah. What if Jacob would have said, I don't have to worry about her. Push her to the side. He didn't. What if we push our Leahs aside and go, I don't have to do those. I don't have to put those into practice. Will God be able to use us and work through us to spread the good news in this community around us? What if we never learn to endure our Leahs just as much as we love our Rachels? Will we ever be able to truly follow Jesus, build bridges, and make disciples? Because truth be told, we are married to both, every single one of us. That's why we're Jacob in Genesis chapter 29. We all have our Rachels in following Jesus. We all have our Leahs, whether we like it or not. We're married to both, and we better learn to love Leah, because that may be where God's multiplication is coming from. We can't spend all of our time and effort to just win Rachel, because in the end, Christ comes through Leah.